You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we get the perspective of a resident of the neighborhood in Milwaukee where violence erupted this weekend after police shot a man after a traffic stop.
First, the gaming and technology industry has long seen the West Coast as its hub, but it could also have a home in Wisconsin. Madison has seen the rise of a budding technology scene, and for now, UW-Madison is home to the Games, Learning, and Society Center.
The center has brought in millions in grants from the federal government and private foundations and has staff that's also employed in private sector gaming jobs. Its research has explored using games to enhance learning on everything from empathy and civic activism to literacy and programming.
But this year, the center's co-directors, Professors Kurt Squire and Constance Steinkuhler, are leaving the UW for the University of California, Irvine. Leaving those left behind wondering what it might mean for the future of gaming in Wisconsin and for UW-Madison's efforts to retain faculty. Kurt Squire joins us now. In addition to being co-director of the Games Learning and Society Center, he's a professor of digital media and curriculum instruction at UW-Madison. Kurt, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, when you and Constance Steinkuhler founded the Games and Learning and Society Center, how well established was the study of gaming in mainstream academics?
Not at all. It was a lot of people looked at us like we were kind of crazy. And so part of our idea initially was just to bring together game developers, teachers, technologists to really look at what the future of this medium would be and then what it would mean for learning and for schools and how we interact.
And so over the years, that was the beginning, has that changed? Are people starting to look at you a little bit differently, those that thought you were a little bit crazy?
Oh, definitely. It's funny. There's a current generation of students who has no idea that this was seen as weird when they came up. One of the things that's really exciting is that we do have probably 50 or 60 people employed in Madison building games of this sort. So there's Filament Games, some other startups. The Learning Games Network has an office here. So we are really building games that are played throughout the world to help people learn stuff.
So making sure that we're all on the same page, how would you describe the scope of what you do with games at UW-Madison and, I guess, taking that with you to UC Irvine?
Yeah, so we like to do everything from basic research on what are kids learning through playing. So what are kids learning as they're playing Minecraft? And are there opportunities for using a game like that to learn academic areas? All the way over to designing games in science and in social studies and other academic areas. What we'll be doing, so we will be physically leaving, and some of our research initiatives will. But folks like Filament Games will still be here, folks like the Learning Games Network. So hopefully there will still be a robust games and learning scene. And the games, I should also say, the commercial entertainment game scene will remain, you know, pretty much unaffected, I think.
And so if you were to look maybe 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road, what kind of potential do you see, both academics and, you know, looking at private sector and education, all of that? What kind of potential do you see for this field?
Well, there's a lot of potential. I think as the success of Pokemon Go has shown a lot of people, there are a lot of ways that augmented reality kinds of technologies can get kids learning outside, you know, getting outside the classroom for science, for architecture, history. That's something we've actually been pioneers in here in Madison. So the Field Day Project, which is led by David Gagnon, which will still be sticking around, they've been working with teachers across the state with the support from DPI, which is a really exciting project. All the way over to VR, I think you're going to see a lot of new and interesting kinds of VR technologies develop. So we're really just getting started, and I think that in the next 5 or 10 years, it will be some really dramatic shifts in how people learn.
And addressing some of the concerns maybe that people may have initially about gaming and what you're doing with it, how do you describe the potential that you might see the study has for the development of revenue and for jobs, job creation?
Yeah, I think one of the really big opportunities here is that, so we have the kind of commercial games industry that, you know, is quite global, and there are folks here in Madison, both independent games and AAA designers, building games that are played throughout the world. But I think there's a interesting opportunity for universities like Wisconsin to have games that are built coming out of the science out of their labs. So we've been working with Richie Davidson for a couple of years building games and other apps for improving empathy, for improving social empathy. I think you also see similar stuff in the sciences happen. And Madison's really uniquely positioned, having such a great research university, to partner with some of these local companies and get out some of the ideas that faculty have, getting them out to the public through these kinds of avenues.
So we've been talking about this potential, and you and Constance Steinkuhler have been pretty instrumental to that over these last several years. She was President Obama's video game czar, I know, for a couple years.
Yep.
You've brought in millions of dollars in grants. So what happens now that you're leaving? What do you tell people who are remaining in the scene in Madison who want to see it grow? Is this maybe... hard for you to talk about, to assess your own worth, but what do you think happens next?
It is hard, and there's so many great people here, from teachers to partners, like I said, at DPI. My hope, though, is that there will be maybe another generation will come up and start to pick up some of where we left off. One reason that we're holding our GLS conference this week together with Forward Fest. So something we're hoping is that another group of people, teachers, maybe some of the other faculty in, say, math education, might step up and start to have some events along with Forward Fest so they can kind of pick up where we left off. But yeah, there are some really great people here. Filament Games is still sticking around, and the game scene is really starting to thrive. So my hope is that maybe a next generation can, again, pick up where we left off and keep it going.
So you see Madison is still being a place that has some potential to move forward. Someone steps in, and this movement keeps growing, as you see it.
I think so. I do think one thing that is going to be a challenge for folks at the university is that this kind of work, where you're going to, say, prioritize working with the community members, with teachers, with companies, isn't something that's historically as valued at Wisconsin, I think, as some other places. So, we are a pretty traditional university where you do research and you write grants maybe to support that research, but I think one thing, we'll see if it happens, but to really have these kinds of partnerships, it has to be valued alongside those other activities and is seen as something that is really contributing to the university. I think hopefully it will, because it brings jobs to the state and really helps the stay a vibrant community.
We're talking with Kurt Squire right now from UW-Madison. He's one of the founders of the Games and Learning and Society Center. And he is planning to leave for the University of California, Irvine, I think mid-year. Mm-hmm. That's slated to happen. So I want to ask you about that now, pivoting to why you're leaving. What made you decide to do that?
Oh, it's hard to talk about. So we both really do love Wisconsin. There were a lot of reasons. One of the biggest ones is just the political climate here between the university and the state has gotten to the point where it is pretty difficult to get some things done for us. At the same time, you're having historic budget cuts, you're having changes to faculty governance, the weakening of the tenure, all of those things happening at once also means that it's kind of hard to go and start innovating and doing new things when everyone's starting to feel retrenched. And I'll say that, sadly, when you go to other places, you look back at Wisconsin, there's kind of this dark cloud around the university. And for us, that was one of the big factors. There were some other kind of places, where we were in our own careers that made it an okay time to go.
And you're joining the ranks of other high-profile faculty members who have decided to leave and who have gone public with some of their concerns, sometimes their frustrations, mm-hmm. about the university. Sarah Goldrick Rabb was one. Caroline mm-hmm. Levine was another. Is that tension a big part of what you see, a big part of what you say, kept you from getting things done? That tension between the university system and between the legislature, which seems
yes.
like is not resolved yet.
Definitely. And that's been one of the big challenges.
And what do you think is different? You're going to the UC Irvine. What will be different for you there?
Well, it remains to be seen. I mean, I think one thing that's I'm reminded of colleagues is that the bureaucratic battles one fights at a university are always the same, and all state universities are going through some of the same challenges. I think for us, one thing is that because we sit at the intersection of technology and design and education, when you're trying to build new programs and kind of innovative new partnerships, it can be very difficult at a time when you don't have state support, again, where you have cutting funding and then you have less faculty autonomy than you ever have. One of our hopes is that in that milieu, with an established program, we might be able to spend a little less time trying to break down some of those bureaucratic walls.
And as far as the UW system, I know that Constance Steinkuhler went to school here, got one of her degrees here. Mm-hmm. So there's some fondness there, I'm sure.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, but looking at that, so what are you going to miss, and what do you think are the challenges that remain for the UW system?
I'm going to miss WPR. I love WPR. It's a great asset. There's a lot. I mean, I think the Wisconsin idea is a really powerful idea, and it's one that I hope that folks who are here building the university really stick with. And I think the other thing I'll say is that this is really an amazing public, world-class public Park Research University. And it's really rare to have such a world-class university across all areas, you know, everywhere from the med school to the vet school. I mean, it's just really kind of shocking when you hear it. And so I think one of the really great things is that that's not going to go away overnight. And I think that trying to build on that. And then again, one of my hopes is that being in the Midwest, something that in my own area that we can do is leverage the fact that Wisconsin has a high quality of life, that it is cheaper than the coast, that we can really build up a technology sector and scene that can rival the coast. So even though we're going, I think that potential is still absolutely there.
I mean, people talk about that a lot, building up, maybe it's Madison, maybe it's another small Midwestern town, but the potential to build up maybe a technology hub, maybe something else to rival the coast. Do you think that's realistic in real terms? Is it possible to do something big like that from the Midwest?
I actually think it is. I think that you're seeing other places also make similar investments. So New York has just invested in Rochester quite a bit. Austin, which isn't the Midwest, but Austin is something that everyone points to. So I definitely think that it's here. I mean, you can point to the healthcare industry in places like Epic, and you can see, you know, what they've done. I think that there's a real potential as long as you get those sort of university state public partnerships together. And I'll say there's a group called Mad Rep in town that supports this kind of work, and they are really fabulous. And I hope that as we move on, we've worked with them closely. And as we move on, I hope some other faculty step up and really carry that on.
And as you prepare to move on, you're not there yet, but if you could wave your magic wand, what would you like to be different about the way the university system works with the legislature and works with its faculty?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I think one thing is that the sense of maybe of trust, and that people are mutually, you know, in this together, really trying to help, you know, benefit the state and do good research and teaching. And that's a part for the last couple of years that just feels like it's been missing for me.
We leave it there, Kurt. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
That was Kurt Squire. He's a professor of digital media and curriculum instruction at UW-Madison. And he joined us to talk about the future of the gaming industry in Wisconsin as he prepares to leave the UW-Madison for the University of California, Irvine.
Coming up, we'll hear from a resident of the Milwaukee neighborhood that saw protests this weekend and unrest after a fatal police shooting. He sees many parallels to unrest back in the 1960s that sprang from the era of segregation. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.